How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Hello,
and thank you so much for joining us for your ROH post show. I don't know if I'm frozen. I don't know if SP3 is frozen. Let us know in the chat if you could tell me which one of us is frozen, because I have no idea. But we are live with your ROH post show. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. It helps people find us in the algorithm, especially this show. It's important on every show, but especially this show. Please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com as well. Can you hear me? You see me? Are we all here? We're rocking and rolling.
Apologies we hear you.
For the confusion. We're rocking and rolling. So I have this new wonderful setup that I've been like 50-50 with on whether or not I can stream with it because it's kind of overloading my computer. So if it causes too many problems, I got my backup mic right here. I got my earbuds with a mic on. I am like, OMG, so covered for this, but we're going to get through it. We're going to talk some ROH tonight. So get in those super chats. Please leave a thumbs up on this video and please head over to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. There is still contract news coming down the pike of the end of this year. There is so much happening. We, of course, have our AEW pay-per-view coming up, a full gear kind of summary thread about a lot of different stuff. The Rizzler, the women's division, all these sorts of things going up on Fightful Select, if not while we're on stream very soon after. So much going on there coming out of pay-per-views. There's all sorts of good stuff. So check that out if you would. We also want to encourage you, if you haven't already, to subscribe to this YouTube channel. We are trying to combat the recent algorithm changes on X. It is tough to get the interactivity back up to where it was for sure. So please subscribe to this channel so that you get alerted about when our shows are. Those aren't really showing up in people's feeds as much anymore. Link's really dragging us down, but what are we going to do? Tell Jeremy to stop writing so much news. He's a beast over there on Fightful.com. So we're going to keep it rocking and rolling. But tonight we've got some ROH to talk about. Last week, we kind of talked about the big announcement about Hammerstein Ballroom for a while. I will certainly be at that. SP3, I'm assuming, will be at that. If he doesn't get any green lights that are necessary, we're going to roll some heads. We're going to make sure that SP3 is there for sure. But I'm excited about this. It feels like the build to Final Battle is on some sort of track for a lot of things. At least I feel like the big thing is for that women's world title picture. I'm not expecting there to really be one more for this Jericho stuff, but I am excited about it. It does at least feel like it's a priority again. And also on the AEW call earlier today, Tony Khan kind of confirming that there's been some pretty serious talks about an ROH TV rights deal, which was encouraging to hear. And we've been beating the same drum a little bit, but it sounds like we're getting closer and closer on this. I'm getting more excited as we get toward the end of this year, because I feel like there's probably going to be a push to get that TV deal done ahead of 2025. That's just such a natural, clean slate of when to start stuff. So I'm looking forward to that. Any kind of thoughts on what we got from Tony Khan on the media scrum? Just feels more and more promising. I would say now it feels completely like a matter of time rather than like if this happens sort of thing.
Yeah, if it's been feeling like that for the past couple of months, especially when the rumors started about them making negotiations for this TV deal. I mean, hell, me and Kate been talking about the possibility of a TV deal ever since Jericho started feuding with Mark Briscoe, because the last time we heard about a TV deal was the last time Jericho was involved with the Ring of Honor World Championship. So I think that this time it is for a good reason that they are going to complete the TV deal. I'm excited for that. And I would, if I'm AEW or Tony Khan, I would want to get that TV deal done by the Hammerstein weekend. That's Christmas weekend. You can make the big announcement in a hotbed for Ring of Honor, have the big announcement at Final Battle and say that you're coming to TV in the next big event. You don't have to wait all the way to Supercard of Honor. The next big event is our debut on wherever we're going to.
100% agree with you there. 100% agree with you there. The other thing that we kind of saw developing with ROH, and we'll get into the episode specifics, but there does seem to be some overall movement with the product. So I do want to talk about that a little bit. We saw a lot of New Japan presence on here today. We also got the announcement of this tournament that's going to be happening at Wrestle Dynasty, not Dynasty under the AEW umbrella, not Wrestle Dream, but Wrestle Dynasty that'll be happening in Japan around Wrestle Kingdom time. That's
not Wrestle Kingdom. That's the day before. That's January 4th. Wrestle Dynasty.
Wrestle Dynasty day after that. Kind of cool that, you know, you're a New Japan fan and so am I. And we've seen Wrestle Kingdom be two nights and then one night. We've seen changes to the G1. But I think like this is a nice way to say Wrestle Kingdom is one night. It should be one night. I think most people are in agreement. That was kind of a pandemic exception kind of feel. Wrestle Kingdom as one night feels right. But to blow it out with another event like this, I think is kind of cool. It feels like a two-night event, but you're getting two very different flavors on both nights of that. ROH, there's this women's tournament that's going to be happening. You know, I had heard and Sean had heard that not a women's Continental Classic, but another tournament in a vein of celebrating the very best of women's wrestling was on its way in some respect. I don't think we all knew it was going to be something like this. This is very cool. It has a Forbidden Door feel to it, but a tournament that is consolidated to AEW, CMLL, New Japan / Stardom, and ROH, right? So very, very nice to see ROH being included in that because we talk about it all the time. Not just Athena, but this women's division has a lot of depth and character to it, much more so than the men's side, unfortunately, in the singles division. And, you know, I'm looking at these names. This is another one where I'm like, I wish Trish Adora was getting some fucking matches because I feel like she would be a no-brainer for something like this with her New Japan crossover that she's had working at the dojo, appearing on Strong a bunch. I'm very excited for the possibilities of what this could be for the ROH women's side. I'm wondering if Athena will be moved up to the AEW main roster at this point based on how it feels like she might be losing to Billy. But I'm very excited about the possibilities that could be there with this. Do you have kind of front runners that you want to see in this women's division? It's so funny because I feel like I could just as easily say, I want to see Layla Hirsch in this, right? Like, I want to see people who maybe aren't at the top of the card necessarily. But who do you want to see in this?
I mean, you just mentioned her, and I think that she is probably going to be a front runner to win this whole entire thing. But Athena. I think Athena loses the Ring of Honor Women's World Championship at Final Battle, especially being in Hammerstein Ballroom. You're going to need a big, like, big title change outside of the obvious one, get the title the hell off of Jericho. So you're going to need another big title change. Billy Starks finally becoming champion, ending the longest reign in Ring of Honor history. And then you have her take one of the spots in the Ring of Honor bracket of this tournament. Because the extra thing about the International Women's Cup that I really like is that it has some long-term ramifications. The winner of the tournament will have a title shot of their choice, of any of their choosing. So it basically means they could get a shot at whatever title, not the title of, if you're from Ring of Honor, you get a title shot at the Ring of Honor Championship, or if you're from AEW, you're getting a shot at the AEW Women's World Championship or TBS Championship, Stardom, CMLL, so forth. It's any title of their choosing. So I feel like this is the perfect kind of entryway to have Athena go in as an ROH person, win the tournament, and then that's her way into the door of AEW. I think that you can tell a long-term story and talk about the consequences, the ramifications of the tournament if you work something like that. Over on like the kind of the Stardom side of things, I think you got to mention someone like a Starlight Kid who's awesome, who just has a boatload of charisma herself. Someone like a Momo Watanabe who had one of the best best women's matches of the year on last Sunday against Mayu Iwatani for the IWGP Women's Championship. AEW, I would look at someone like a Chris Statlander, Anna Jay, someone like that. And then on the CMLL side, I'm not too familiar with the ladies over there, but La Catalina is one that I am familiar with, who owns a victory over Timeless Toni Storm. So I would look at her from that side.
I think Johnny Robbie is signed to CMLL. I would love to see her in something like this. She's kind of has a feel to me similar to like a Diamante or along those lines. Like she's just there to beat your ass. Like she's a really fun one too. For anything CMLL, I always recommend reaching out to Luis Polito if you have any questions about it or just following his content. He's so passionate about it and he always has the beat on it. But a lot going on in that picture in CMLL that I think could be good. A lot happening in the Mexican wrestling scene in general to look out for. But we've got some super chats and humper chats that have come in from you guys. Thank you so much for the support as we get kicked off here. But Meat Normus saying, just checked, I have 7 different kinds of meat in my fridge. Now let's crank lots of meat in the tag match. I'm manifesting butcher beef and cheeseburger for Trios champions. Your thoughts? I love CB on a sincere note. Him not being a part of the current rendition of ROH is a bummer to me. Like he felt so synonymous with that brand and he just does some really, really incredible stuff. Like, yes, he looks great selling for Bobby Lashley and getting his ass kicked on television. He is one of those people that like they could very easily sign and just put on a TV title push or whatever. He's someone that could work as a trainer. Like he's one of the most creative wrestlers and in such an open landscape, I would really love to see Cheeseburger get to do more from an interpromotional perspective than he's been allowed these opportunities. ROH, I feel like would be a great foot in the door. Kind of fun. I know you had mentioned it too on social media to see him get the pop in Reading, Pennsylvania, which is not too far from his hometown, but people know who this guy is. People immediately fall in love with him. There's something very likable about our friend CB over there. I love that dude. Many words with a good friend of mine, LSG, who I would love for them to pick up too. They could use some guys in that singles division with some versatility that like can work with anybody, can make anybody look good, that if you wanted to heat up, they could very easily start challenging for titles. It's just really thin right now. And I thought that was something that was going to be huge for ROH, would be alleviating that AEW roster balloon, but we just kind of haven't seen that on the men's single side. Any love you want to give to our friend Cheeseburger over there?
I've been a fan of Cheeseburger since his early days, and when he was just a ring boy in his Ring of Honor days and going through it with the likes of like Charlie Haas back in those days.
Hell yes, yeah.
Been shooting in this ROH gym for a while. So I remember Cheeseburger when he was just wearing black pants and a black ROH shirt around ringside. So it's great to see how far he's come into his career and become such a polished in-ring performer.
Incredible, but truly.
It's very rare and something that we got to highlight with him to be a type of guy who just makes anyone he works with look like $1 million. That is something that every roster needs. So I 100% agree with you. If they are going to be having Ring of Honor be a standalone TV show, you're not going to find a lot of guys that can fill a bunch of spots for you or make someone look good in a quick matchup quite like Cheeseburger. So if they are going to go to just a standalone product, its own TV show, I would say get your Cheeseburger, get your LSG, you know, sign Beef long term because Beef is where it's at. But I like all
Eli Isom, like those guys. Yes. To build that division back up because it's just been so thin. And I would love to see a return to having like proper, I know I'm a pure perv at this point, but like one thing that felt so endemic to the ROH product was having this clarity around I'm going for that belt, I'm working up this division. That was something that in the shutdown got so lost and was something that was working in the ROH product that was like an hour long. Those days, those pandemic days for ROH, I thought was some of the best wrestling that was available to us. And I loved the clarity around that because it would just be, I'm going after the pure belt. I have to be the best in the division, not holding that belt to get there. It was just a really good way to go about business. So a lot of things that I hope they bring back. That includes cheeseburger. I appreciate your all meat trio suggestion, though. Thank you so much, Meat Norvis. If you're going to be at Full Gear, please say hi. We communicate on social media, so we'll make plans to high five at some point. But Genesis, we don't really do chats that are based around like other people's opinions or hating on them. But thank you for the compliment. If you want to send in something else, that's fine. But we don't call out other hosts or anybody else in wrestling media to hate on their opinions. We welcome opinions that are fine as long as they are not overtly like bigoted. So other than that, feel free to send in something else. I don't want you to feel like you got gypped out of your money there. But we do have some more chats from you guys. Thank you so much. Matthew Hook saying, move up Athena and Amanada, bring in Hyann and Megan Bade. Yeah, so it's so weird because we talked about this extensively. I whine about it constantly, to be so for real. Like, I'm just whining about it all the time. But with this women's division, we had like a solid year of feeling like we were building towards something. It felt like as soon as Willow Nightingale went down with this concussion, everything fell apart. And like, there are certain wrestlers who are not needle movers in the sense of rating spikes necessarily or whatever, but there are North Stars in your division. I feel like Willow was being built into one of them. And since she's been out, it feels like a lot of stuff has fallen apart. I think we're turning the tide a little bit with this Mariah May thing. I think Toni Storm is probably going to come back sooner than later. I think Mercedes, there's ways that they can spice up what's happening there, but I think her and Chris is going to be a fantastic match, like just from an in-ring perspective, which always helps get things back on track. Not helped by Chris Statlander just suddenly being a face, as so many people have pointed out, but Willow being gone, I thought was going to be an opportunity maybe for like more people to sneak in, kind of the way that Willow created opportunities for herself when other people were out. But man, Amanada's one. I don't know why they won't let Athena out of ROH Witness Protection Program. Like, it is so bizarre to me that the one time that they let her out, she was the ratings winner on Battle of the Belts, which nobody gives a shit about anyway. They don't even care about it. Let's be so for real. And they were like, you know what we'll learn from that? Absolutely nothing. In fact, we'll put her on less pay-per-views than we had been. I just don't get it. But I love Megan Bain. I think that's a great choice as well. Like, signing her up would be great. Hyann, Vert Vixen, these are people that we celebrated in appearances being on the show. Wouldn't mind them stepping up next. The women's division is where you have depth, though, I feel like, SP3. Yeah. I feel like the men's division is kind of where we get lost with some of that.
Yeah, the men's division is the one that you're going to need to kind of pick and choose from the free agency market and independent. And just to touch on what you started off your statement with about the AEW women's division. And it's been, you said since Willow went down, I say it's been ever since All In. It really feels like AEW went in there, WWE, it's after WrestleMania. Let's put it on cruise control. And the biggest victim of that has been the women's division, because it doesn't even feel like they have tried. And you say Willow Nightingale's a North Star. Well, Toni Storm is a North Star, and losing both of them at the same time, it's just been dire. I don't think that Mariah May's title reign is among like the biggest fumbles in AEW that I've seen, like some people say, but it is very much not going the best it was from the height where she was when she turns heel or when she wins the title. They need to kind of find a direction, and they should have had a better plan after All In. But hopefully that gets, you know, fixed, like you said, when Timeless Toni Storm is back. Mercedes, I don't know. It's not looking good. Like, I've been somebody that's been in support of Mercedes Moné, and I love her work outside of AEW with New Japan Pro Wrestling and Stardom, because she feels like so much of a bigger star. But in AEW, I don't know what's not connecting, and maybe a lot of that comes down to the crowds and stuff the last couple of weeks. I haven't been feeling the crowds, the size of them or the sound of them, and having that with Mercedes and, you know, the whole angle with Chris Statlander didn't make sense from the start. But I'm hoping that Mercedes Moné is one person that you have multiple examples of her career of the match to build difference and how people look back on her feud. People, if you ask anybody about Sasha Banks versus Bianca Belair, they'll always talk about the great match at WrestleMania 37. They sometimes will forget the build to that matchup.
Horrendous.
Was awful. It was awful. But then on the other hand, you think of this, Kate, when we talk about what just 3 months ago, Britt Baker versus Mercedes Moné, everybody will remember that the match wasn't that good, but the build was actually really damn good. It's a great, but no one remembers that because the match was not good. So I'm hoping that it's another example for Mercedes in her career where the match is great and we don't remember the build is wasn't that good. I hope that's the same thing with Chris Statlander at Full Gear because she really needs it. I say some people is on the clock for a good to great match. Mercedes Moné is on the clock on Saturday. Oh, did you freeze again? Or is that me? Or does your mic not work? Uh-oh. Yeah, I think. Oh, you switched the mic. I was like, you got me scared for a second. I was like, I don't see your mouth moving, but I don't hear you.
I was trying to do it. I should have started it earlier in your analysis, and I would have timed it better. But we're back in rock and roll, and I got tired of it being glitchy on me. But I agree with you about Mercedes. It feels like we've always had one or the other. And I think part of it is kind of these stories that we're getting in general, right? Like, I feel like in AEW men and women's division, it's like we're all just waiting for friends to turn on each other. There's 9 million titles. It feels like nobody gives a crap about any of them. Like, nothing is about, like, the actual championships right now. The Camille dissension feels early. If she's not turning at the pay-per-view, that feels kind of off. Like, I don't know what's not clicking, but to your point, the build with Britt was really good. I think part of the problem with this Chris stuff is just, like, Chris just feels kind of lost as a character on the show at the moment. Like, she turned face. Yeah. We don't really know why. I feel like part of the problem with the AEW women's division right now is we've just lost title adjacent feuds. Deonna Purrazzo hasn't wrestled since September 6th. And I don't think she's injured, to my knowledge. This pay-per-view is in New Jersey. What are we doing? Like, it's such a bizarre thing. So I think part of it's Mercedes not clicking. I think part of it is just her... If you're relying on her to pick up a division and not giving it any support, there's only so much one person can kind of do with that. But
yeah.
I think ring-wise, we're going to see a classic. I'm hoping. I hope they let it be what it can be. But Shea Monster saying, TMDK SP3 sheets to the wind. Shingo, Jet Knight gave Ishii a ridiculous crossover episode. Crew deserved a better showcase than the crowd. Crowd deserves a better set up than what they give them as well. But this is something that I've been advocating for. I wanted more crossover with other promotions, particularly New Japan, especially the strong side of things. Gabe Kidd right now, just lighting up the world, man. I love seeing what this guy's doing. That feud with Kenny is going to be great, but I was so excited to see him on the show. That's kind of a good segue into the actual episode, but I love the New Japan crossover. I think it's two products. The reason I always push strong is I think that product in particular could really use the added storytelling direction because so much of New Japan Strong just kind of exists within itself and they have really great live shows and that's neat, but they're not necessarily like as feud driven. A lot of those are just like, I'm just like watching Zack Sabre Jr. versus Atlantis Jr. or whatever, and it's awesome or something, like, cool, right, but it doesn't mean anything.
I have to watch 36 minutes of West Coast Wrecking Crew versus Dirty Work.
Yeah, and then I'll also get Momo versus Mercedes. You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy.
It gives you every type of thing on those strong shows, yeah.
Capital Collision was so awesome, and, like, but it wasn't because, like, I was watching anything segmented leading into it. I think there's a lot of potential for a working relationship, but before we get into the specifics, did you like what we saw? I thought it was really fun to see Kevin Knight there, Gabe Kidd there. Those felt like the people that you would want. Shingo, obviously, like the guys that you would want from New Japan showing up tonight felt fun.
Yeah, definitely two of my favorites are Gabe Kidd and Shingo Takagi, and even Kevin the Jet Knight. I love the fact that Jet Knight was on Twitter and responded to his matchup because I was so confused. When the music hit, I was like, who is this? And then he comes out, no Titantron and anything. I'm like, what happened? And then he said, no music, no Titantron. No problem. 1-0 in Ring of Honor. I was like, at least he had some type of response to it because I was so confused. I was like, what? Did New Japan not send his music or something? And I 100% agree with you about Gabe Kidd. I think Gabe Kidd is the name to watch in 2025 for New Japan Pro Wrestling, and especially with Kenny Omega this week confirming that he will have the matchup with Gabe Kidd at Wrestle Dynasty on January 5th. It's a huge statement to where New Japan Pro Wrestling feel Gabe Kidd is at, where Kenny Omega feels Gabe Kidd is at. It feels like he's going to have a breakout year next year.
I agree. I'm looking forward to that. What we're going to get out of Gabe Kidd in the long run, I think, is going to be truly special. And you know, with Bullet Club, there's always going to be all sorts of drama and shenanigans in the most wrestling and delicious way. But we do open with Gabe Kidd versus Angelico. I mean, just when you talk collisions of styles, is there a bigger collision of styles than Gabe Kidd and Angelico? I absolutely love this. Gabe Kidd winning with the pinfall, which is, if this was WWE, I mean, Randy Orton would be out for the rest of his career. So I do love seeing what we got here. The thing that always amazes me about Angelico is the lucha ability and the absolute strong technical foundation and the smoothness in all of it. Like, he's one of the most smooth in-ring operators ever. Absolutely adore it. I thought this match was a super fun opener. It's made me really happy to see. And if you aren't familiar with Gabe Kidd, people are getting to know him, right? Through the Kenny feud, through how incredible he is on social media, through stuff like this. Like, he's one of those guys that you see and you instantly get him. And that's so important in pro wrestling, I think. It's so important. So all upside on this opener for me. What did you think?
My one nitpick is I feel like they could have made this a bigger deal by bringing up the rivalry with Kenny Omega in New Japan Pro Wrestling, because this was filmed after Power Struggle. So you could have brought it up, the backstage brawl, and that would have made, and they kind of didn't even reference it or take note of it when he does the little gun to the camera, sending a message to Kenny Omega. You gotta promote these things. You gotta talk about these things. That's what commentary is supposed to be here for. So, you know, a rare case of Ian and Caprice of missing something. So I had to note it, because we rarely are going to have a chance, because they're so good at what they do. They're really going to have a chance. But I think that would have been nice to kind of add to the presentation. But Gabe Kidd and Helico, this was a fine way to kick off the show. Love Gabe Kidd's power driver. I think he has one of the best in the business. And yes, Randy Orton would be at two hospitals after back-to-back power drivers. So, and the drill a hole when he holds on to the leg. Love that as his finisher as well.
The other thing is, this could have been a title defense.
Could have been, right?
I don't know why it wasn't. If I assumed Gabe Kidd was winning all the way, like, might as well have just had the title on the line here. I don't know if there was a particular reason that wasn't the case. I don't know if it was one of the situations where sometimes when wrestlers travel, especially in and out of Japan, they just physically don't have the title.
But he did. That's what made it weird.
Oh my God, he did have the title on the show, didn't he? Yeah. No excuses. Maybe, he should have made it a title defense.
I do have an excuse. I don't know if it is it. I can't confirm. Fightful can confirm it for me, but probably because Angelico does work sometime for the ops, for the Crips to the Bloods of CMLL, AAA.
That is possible. And the other thing is, maybe they didn't want Gabe Kidd defending on the show when their own champion is never here.
So it just would have pissed off Kate Moore if the title was defended. She just setting herself up to be pissed off, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, My God. Catch a Gabe Kidd's interview with Sean Ross Sapp. The Kenny Omega one took off like crazy. It was like 10,000 views within 24 hours or something, that Kenny interview, and grew a lot from there. But he asks Kenny directly about Gabe's comments in it, and Gabe just gives you so much in an interview. I don't have to tell you, but Genesis says you. The chat was for SP3's AEW review. I missed, my bad. That's okay. We just we try to control that here, but you know what? Let's just do it. Let's just talk a bunch of S about other people.
We can talk S about Jimmy Makaram.
As long as you're good with that. As long as you're good. It's your host. You want to shoot on your co-host? You go for it.
Yes. He says next time, disclaimer, Jimmy, ridiculous hate on Sheeta. She is the face of the women's division. Stop the cap. Hello there, gorgeous woman with bangs. You got a new nickname.
I'm assuming that part was for me and not you, as you are both not a lady to my knowledge, and you definitely don't have bangs. So
I should have grown my bangs out. I could have been gorgeous woman with bangs. But no, thank you, Genesis J, for the super chat donation. I will let Jimmy Makaram know you will not be playing with his hate of Sheeta. And Jimmy Makaram is just filled with hate. He feels by hate.
Like, I can't, as someone that hosts Sour Graps, like, I can't hate on the hate. Like, that's an integral part of just, like, who I am and what I do in this space. I love a good hater, but not on Sheeta. I have a Genesis Day. I'm with SP3 on this. Sheeta is gold. Okay, baby.
Joel Pearl has put it best. He says, AE Ramble is Sour Graps for AEW. That's all. That's really all it really is. If you want a quick explanation of AE Ramble.
Me Norm is justifying that, saying Jimmy Mack and Pulowski are both extremely sour. I love it. If you guys ever start doing weird impressions for no reason, let me know. We'll do a crossover episode. Guys, thank you so much for the support tonight. We have so much fun on the show. Keep those super chats coming if there's anything you want to talk about. We're going to move along here to Shane Taylor Promotions. Shane Taylor, Lee Moriarty in this combination with Trish Adora and Sean Dean defeating, I'm sorry to say, our beloved beef, JD Drake, with that running splash from Shane Taylor. Man, it's just so fun to have someone like Shane Taylor in general, but in tag matches, because he's just such an effing force. Like, it's such a blast to have this. And then, of course, after the match, SCP attacking JD Drake and beef, but the Undisputed Kingdom coming in to make the save, which was an interesting development here. I keep forgetting that their faces, like, it's still not clicking in on ROH to me, because they were heel champions for so long, and they haven't done a whole bunch since turning face. That, like, it's cemented in my head, and they certainly haven't done a ton of Evs being faces on ROH. And they're so inclined naturally to be heels to me that when they came down for the save, I was like, oh, right. But this match was a bunch of fun. I just love the difference maker that Shane Taylor is, because it's not just his size and the way that he moves. Once he gets in the ring, something's changed. Like, business picked up, something has changed, and we just got to see so many of those moments tonight. Like, absolutely loved it. Have Trish Adora wrestle some damn matches if she's healthy. I don't know what the deal is there. Every time she comes out as a valet, I'm like, she's great, and she's so much fun, and she has this incredible energy. She's also one of the best women's wrestlers in the world. So until someone tells me it's because she's injured, I will keep whining about it every week. SP3, your thoughts on this match and the post-match developments?
I just want to ask Tony Khan why he hates me. Why does Tony Khan hate me? Why would he put my dear, all lovable, all sweet, kind, genuine princess in the rain beef and his second cousin by marriage, by friendship, JD Drake, against Shane Taylor Promotions? These are like my two favorite tag teams going against one another. Why would you do that to me? Why are you trying to split up my heart? Split my heart up. especially this combination of Shane Taylor promotion. Couldn't do the infantry. He had to do Shane Taylor, who I've interviewed, Lee Moriarty, who I've interviewed. It's like I can't win. This would be easy. Any other team, I would be like, I'm rooting for Beef and JD Drake, and you get minus 3 stars if you have them lose. But then you have them lose to Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty. I'm just conflicted. I'm just completely conflicted. But overall,
rare moment where the time limit draw is the only option for SP3. He's like, I can't. There can be no winner. There can be no loser.
No winners.
I just want both teams to have fun.
Both teams have fun. That's all I want. But no, Shane Taylor promotions, it making sense. They wouldn't. I love the fact that they have used basically what me and Kate made the storyline for Shane Taylor like months ago, is that he challenges for all the titles. Now that's his gimmick on the product, ladies and gentlemen. Just to let you know, Tony Khan is watching us. He's been like, you know what? Yes, Shane Taylor challenges for every title. And now Shane Taylor Promotions can get every title because they have more members. They should.
They're the best.
I get what you're putting down, Tony, and I'm here for it.
Me, Norma, saying, here's a small sack of monies for a beef cartwheel. We did see Star Beef, Stardust Beef, Beef Dust. That sounds disgusting. Beef dust sounds disgusting.
Beef dust.
Ugh. I need to shower just saying that out loud. That's so gross.
Dot, got my cootie shots.
There you go. I got to say, it does feel like there's some more intentionality behind things, especially since this like infantry and Shane Taylor Promotions merge. I think it's something that's been beneficial because it feels like there's a force here and it's growing. But we have a very generous chat from Tim McFowell. Thanks so much, saying, having this debate in the chat and would love y'all's take. Putting women on ROH and Collision is good, but continuing to do just one match on Dynamite makes it feel like they don't see women as valuable as men. So frustrating. So I did have this thought a while ago where I was so encouraged by what we were seeing in the women's division, but then seeing how much they just didn't care about ROH as a product, it seems, I kind of feel the same way about NXT on the WWE side of like, yeah, we'll build up the women on that show we don't really care about, nobody watches. I will say a couple of things, though. One, my complaints on the AEW main roster with the women's division, screen time aside, and one match is bullshit. One match in 2024 for a 2-hour show is bullshit at this point. A lot of my complaints right now with the women's division, I also have about the men in the tag division. Like, a lot of my complaints about the women's division are consistent throughout all of AEW. So that doesn't feel like they aren't valuing women. It feels like the product is off track to me, and the women's division has included that in a lot of ways. It just feels like everything feels magnified with women's wrestling to me because they only get one match a show. So it's like, if that match is great, oh, the women's division is on track. If that match isn't so great, women's wrestling on AEW sucks, right? Like, it's everything kind of lives and dies by that one match or those few segments that we get. The difference between a couple months ago and now is like, we had all these title adjacent feuds that were building out, like, and that was so encouraging, and both long-term stories were going on with Willow and Chris and with the women's main title, and you had Mercedes coming in doing more workhorse stuff. So there was just more balance. I feel that way with the men's division right now too. Like, I'm wondering why there are titles that are not being defended. I'm not a where is the story person, but like, why are all these stories so templated and feel the same? Like, Kyle Fletcher and Wheeler Yuta turning on the same pay-per-view felt really redundant to me. Like, a lot of my complaints are with the playbook as a whole. So I see and hear that point. I think the screen time stuff, there's no excuse for at this point, especially when you have Mercedes Moné on your show. But like, the women are tucked away on Collision and it feels like an afterthought. Collision feels like an afterthought, right? Like, I have a lot of consistent complaints, but what are your thoughts?
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere. But I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
I have so many issues with the AEW Women's Division. It's not even funny anymore. And I think that it goes way beyond them just having one matchup on Dynamite, because I've seen good use of their Women's Division when there has been one match on Dynamite. The difference then of when it was getting praise and the difference between it now is that every other week, they would do, like, in the summer, they would do, like, two matches on Dynamite of the women's division. One would be an actual competitive matchup, and the other was a squash match. So it's really, like, 1.5 match, but still, it's the point of at least a couple of weeks you were getting those two matches. It wasn't month after month of one woman's matchup. That's an issue there. Not only that, not only is it just one woman's match, you're literally getting that one woman's match, and that's the only segment in front of the live fans that you get from the women's division. And that is a big difference as well, because even just a couple of months ago, before All In, they were doing one woman's match on Dynamite, but then they would do a whole talking segment where Mercedes and whoever she's feuding with. Or on the other hand, they would do something with Timeless Toni Storm. The whole build-up to Revolution had a lot of that. And during that time, like from like Revolution through All In, it just felt like the women's division had an actual plan. Their plan in March and April was, hey, we're introducing Mercedes Moné. At the same time we're doing that, we're putting the TBS title on Willow Nightingale to set up Willow and Mercedes. On the other hand, for the women's title, we're doing Timeless Toni Storm and Deonna Purrazzo. Into that, while we're doing that feud, we've been building up Thunder Rosa on Collision. Now she's going to come over and feud with Timeless Toni Storm out of that. The whole time, we all knew by Forbidden Door, she was probably doing something with Mina Shirakawa, because Shirakawa was getting wins and she was getting into the whole Timeless Toni Storm and Mariah May matchup. And then by the time they do Mariah May and Mina Shirakawa and Timeless Toni Storm, you know they're going to do Storm and May. Everything had a streamline where you saw, hey, this is their point A. I can tell how they're going to get to point E. I know how they get to point B, C, D. And it just seems like ever since All In, the women's division was the first sign that they just lost the plot and they just stopped trying. There's no plan. Willow Nightingale loses to Chris Statlander. Willow Nightingale gets a shot at what's supposed to be the top title in the women's division coming off of a loss, while Chris Statlander, who's a heel, who whole thing with Stokely Hathaway was not, I'm going to go with Stokely to destroy Willow. It's I'm going to go with Stokely to win the AEW Women's title. World Championship. Yep. And she decides, no, I'm going to go after the title I already had.
There is also a huge imbalance right now, too, of, like, it feels like part of why they turned Chris face is, like, who are the other key faces right now with Willow out?
Yeah.
Harley Cameron? You just got Jamie Hayter back. I don't know why she's not in a title picture. I would put her in a title picture immediately.
You literally have Jamie Hayter and Thunder Rosa, who are not injured right now, and they're just doing jack knows.
Yeah.
I watch Collision every week. I cannot tell you what I know Thunder Rosa had a matchup with Harley Cameron, but she should not be still feuding with Harley Cameron after she won that matchup. You've done like two or three non-title feuds with Jamie Hayter, and it's just like, okay, we get it. You're biding your time so you can get her into something else. But now you're starting a whole new feud with someone who's not even here yet with her, and she still hasn't gotten an AEW Women's World title, the title she never lost.
The lack of momentum for Thunder Rosa coming out, that really great feud with Deonna, is like inexcusable. Inexcusable at this point. You're never going to get this. I'm sorry, but there's a very vivid reason that there was a split. You're never going to hear about it in real life, but like, they're not working together anymore. It was abrupt. It's not going to happen. So I get Chris moving on from Stokely. I don't have a problem with that at all, but like the sudden face turn after they spent months making her the most vicious heel in the division is beyond me. But the only complaint I had in the entire Mariah May, Toni Storm story was they haven't done a lot to set up stories for Mariah May when she wins this title along the way. Because her whole character arc since coming into the company was obviously going in this direction, and it was beautiful. But a lot of those matches were squashes that Mariah May had when she had them. They were not rivalries. The stuff with Mina was good, but it's taken them forever to get back there. There just seems like there was, no plan for a follow-up there. So there you go. There's our thoughts on the AEW Women's Division.
The simplest thing they could have done, and I came up with this earlier today, is why didn't they just do a three-way feud between Mariah, Statlander, and Willow? Just because Willow lost to Statlander in the Chicago Street Fight didn't mean you had to end it right there. You just insert Mariah into the hot woman's feud you got going on over here. You have Mariah pin Willow, steal the win from Chris Statlander, and then there you go. That's your way to have Chris Statlander turn babyface. Why not let Chris Statlander go after the title she said she was going to go after this whole time instead of turning her back around to Mercedes? Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
It's a weird one.
I do agree with you. I think the match on Saturday will be great, but it just did not make sense to do this feud right now at all.
Because the other thing is, Chris versus Mariah would be incredible. Mariah hits like a truck. Guys, thank you so much for the support tonight. We've gotten a lot of chats and some bigger ones than we normally get, so I appreciate it. Genesis J saying, why isn't Trisha Dora a champion or being used? Man, if I had an answer to that. It does make me wonder if something's up, because she's like now at the point where she's conspicuous in her absence, and I haven't seen her taking matches outside of ROH as much either, so I am wondering if something's going on. I can certainly ask Sean, or if anybody's in the Fightful Select Discord, feel free to sniff around about that, but I don't understand why you wouldn't use and build one of the best women's wrestlers in the freaking world. But we have this other chat that says, and I agree with it, I really hope the Righteous win the titles. Now, that would be a very, very welcome title change. I know that they are, Vincent at least, I've heard from multiple people, just extremely well-liked backstage. That's not to say Dutch isn't. I just haven't heard that. I'm sure Dutch is lovely as well, but very much in favor of people that I've heard. Very easy to work with, a very special type of wrestler. I've had wonderful interactions with him myself, I will say. But we get this vignette from them, and it's just a detailed kind of in-depth thing of what they talked about last week about Dusty Rhodes and how he gave them the cowbell, and now how they're gonna hit Dustin Rhodes with it, basically. Which, this is what's so special about the Righteous to me, is and when Bray Wyatt was in his bag, he was really good at this too. He was not always in his bag with this. Creative got real weird when there were jack-in-the-boxes that were the size of buildings, okay? Shit got weird over there. But there's this incredible thing that Vincent and Dutch, but especially Vincent, can do, where it's the deranged guy that feels like a human being, and that's way creepier than the deranged guy that doesn't feel like they actually are rooted in existence. The deranged guy that you've met before, or the deranged guy that you've tried to avoid on the street, the guy who's who's not supernatural, but is out of his mind and weird and just makes you uneasy. That guy is creepier to me than my eye is turning blacker by the day or whatever. Like, that stuff just doesn't resonate with me because that's just not my genre of wrestling. But the guy who can ground some of that in very real feeling things is an incredibly effective and powerful thing. I feel like he fits in that mold. He's not like spooky. He's just like a little bit out there, which I think is a fun way to go about business, quite frankly. So the chat's saying a cult leader feeling. It's a little cult leader-y. It's a little cult leader-y, and it's fun. I can dig. I like this. That would be a really fun ROH sickos moment to have them win the tag titles. I don't know where the six-man titles are. So the Van Erichs can't leave Texas. They have to travel by van and not by airplane. We've made that up. That's a joke here. Don't aggregate that, please. I mean, they're just completely missing in action. So it's nice that we're having a build to these tag team titles. And I don't know which way this goes. I think it would do a lot more for the Righteous. I don't think Sammy Guevara and Dustin Rhodes certainly need it. But I'm glad that we've gotten at least some story and some build to the multi-man pictures, because they were just random as hell for a while there.
Yes, it felt like a while. We just did Undisputed Kingdom and hodgepodge of other heels versus Dustin and his Texas friends. So I'm happy that we got a long-term feud, because, you know, the first week that we talked about this whole start of this rivalry, I was worried they were going to do the title match the following week, because I've been so PTSD.
Conditioned
to think that every feud that has potential is probably going to get blown off in a matter of weeks, if not the very next week. So I'm glad to see all this, and the vignette was so good. And you missed my favorite part of it, Kate.
What did I miss?
Dutch is the long-lost brother of Dustin Rhodes. He said he's the long-lost brother, and when he gave him the cowbell, Dusty had tears in his eyes, and he knew he was going to make his dad proud. Loved it. And this was the first time in this feud where I was just like, you know what? I wouldn't mind the Righteous getting the win.
I wouldn't mind that either. And you're right. I love that like added element of the long lost brother piece of this. That was very cute. I'm gonna see if Sean can find out from Cody Rhodes if Dutch is his lost dog brother. Let's see what
we can clarify. And yes, to clarify to everyone listening or watching, I am the one in the hood. That is sirens in my background.
You're back in New York, baby. I love that for you.
That's the difference. It's nothing but silence when we were doing the show, and I'm in the UK when it's 2 a.m. in the morning. But hey, we're doing the show 9:30 p.m. in New York City.
That's it. Moving on to Kevin Knight, the Jet, versus Serpentico. Not really any doubt about who was going to win this, but nice to see more New Japan talent showing up here. That springboard lariat looks great from Kevin Knight. Best dropkick in the biz. All right, good stuff. But perfectly, as they say on The Simpsons, I'm told, perfectly cromulent match. So this was perfectly fine. This was, I'm more okay with this type of superfluous match where it's a guy from a different company versus an ROH regular, right? Like that's fine. I'm okay with that. Serpentico continues to be so valuable and just the way he can make other wrestlers look good. So I had no problems with this. Not a lot to write home about with it, but decent enough. Kevin Knight, always very impressive.
Yeah, always enjoy Kevin Knight, one half of the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champions with Kushida. He's the guy that many people have said that is going to be like a future ace of the Junior Heavyweight Division. But the way that he gets bigger and bigger every time I see him, I don't think he's going to be a Junior Heavyweight for much longer. This dude is putting on a lot of mass, a lot of muscle. So I don't know how long he's going to be a Junior Heavyweight, but if he needs to maintain that size to be as athletic and agile as he is, I'm totally fine with that as well. And I saw it in the chat, so I just had to confirm on the Twitter machine that yes, it is official. Konosuke Takeshita versus Ricochet at Full Gear. And I was just like, Why the hell you couldn't say that last night? What you were so busy last night you couldn't announce it last night? Because I was kind of worried. I was kind of worried coming out of Dynamite. I was like, this is like one of the better matches they would have on Saturday. So I hope it's still on the card. So I'm happy to say that.
I am happy that that is the case too. I appreciate that they tried to like save some stuff for not Dynamite, but it almost felt like they thought they could save this for Collision and realized the pay-per-view was on Saturday.
I was like, I know they ain't going to announce this year. Rampage, come on.
Yeah, no way. They were like, AJ and the Rizzler are going to be taking over on Dynamite. We're going to have to save this for the next day, but
we really got to get those guys in on this show, guys.
I love this chat because it's talking about scary and spooky and unhinged and weirdos and whatever. But Will saying that Jacob is scary and spooky in a different way. I love you, Solo. In the ring, he certainly is. On social media, he just seems like a simp. I got to be honest. Like on social media.
I love you,
like,
Solo.
I love you, Solo. I'm like,
I love you, like, Solo.
You seem like weirdos in my DMs, Jacob, when I just see it on Twitter with no context. Like.
He just sent you the
free hand.
I love you so much.
Solo, my travel chief. I love you. Good shit. We move on to Tomohiro Ishii defeating Mike Bennett with that teardrop brain buster. Ishii just keeping strong on ROH TV, which I appreciate because Jericho ain't around. So the way that they are building this out is good. At least we have Ishii getting some wins and looking like he should be facing a champion at some point. I am not a fan of the learning tree. I did very much appreciate yesterday's segment. I was laughing at Jericho just walking through the hallway like this. Went on way too long, but I was in stitches about it. Any thoughts on this? Ishii just, I feel like they're just keeping the course until final battle, and that's probably the right call.
Yeah, I think that this was nice to get Ishii a win. I thought it was a good matchup. I thought him and Mike Bennett performed above the environment, sure. You know, with the Ring of Honor. I thought that if this was like in front of like a bigger crowd for like an AEW show, it would have got a big response because sure. These two guys were just had the great counterwork, had good footwork throughout the matchup. Really damn good between those two. Loved Ishii, you know, the finishing sequence, hitting the vertical drop brain buster. So really good effort there. And I agree with you. I think that we're probably going to see on Wednesday Jericho win against Ishii again. Mark Briscoe comes out, and that's a setup. Mark Briscoe, Jericho for a final battle.
I think that's very possible. I did like that. Like, Mike Bennett, to your point, is one of the most underrated and best at just getting a reaction. Like, and I feel like that's so, like, you know who's actually really good at that? QT Marshall, too. Like, we're going to see it at Full Gear. People underestimate, like, it doesn't always have to be, like, the most insane wrestling moves or, like, the best promo in the world. Like, just getting crowd reaction is something that's so valuable. Mike Bennett tonight got to show out some of the other stuff he's really good at. And I think a lot of it, the chemistry was just there with Ishii, man. Like, they put on a good match. You're right, the footwork looked just clean and crisp. Everything looked good. And it was nice to see him just get to play into some in-ring strengths that I feel like we don't always get to see. Like, he just... Yeah. It was just a really good wrestling match tonight. A really, really good wrestling match. Well, we have our final battle rewind match here. We get the Briscoes versus Nakajima and Sasaki. I don't have necessarily a ton of attachment to this particular match. This was from Final Battle 2008. This was before I started watching wrestling. I think I've gone back and watched it, but not a ton there. I did have fun. See, I wasn't paying super close attention, but it was fun to see young Briscoes back at it too. Just like seeing them in the old gear and like before they'd kind of really fully grown into themselves was a hoot. But this just was what it was. These throwback matches I have much less of a problem with on a 75-minute episode or whatever this was, or 90-minute episode than a 3-hour one, for example.
You know, like if it's an hour worth of content you got and you want to throw a throwback matchup, I'm fine with that. That's totally fine with me. So I did not mind this. Also, fun fact, I was there live for this event, Final Battle.
Of course you were.
Final Battle 2008. I actually mentioned this to Kenny Omega when I met him back in 2018, that I was in the balcony at Final Battle 2008 because Kenny Omega faced Claudio Castagnoli on this card. This was a card main evented by Brian Danielson, culminating his rivalry with Takeshi Morishima in a fight without honor. So remembered this very well. I literally like saw it and I was like, I think I've seen this before. But I didn't see the part where they tell you what year it was. And I figured out in my head, I was like, this has to be the Briscoes in 2008 because they don't look that young, that it's 2007. And the video quality is better, so it has to be 2008. Everything 2007 and older is the video quality is always rough. This looks a lot cleaner. This looks like HD net cameras. So this is probably 2008. And I was like, I was on the money. I was on the money with all of it.
Feeling Dreepy said you should start listening to the shows you weren't at from that era. And I agree.
I'm just going to do the Hammerstein shows. I'm going to be, okay, I wasn't at this Hammerstein show. I was at this one, not that one, this one.
Living vicariously through you. Living vicariously through you. Well, hopefully we'll both be at this upcoming final battle because that'll rule. But
yes,
you know what else rules? Shingo Takagi. He's just the best. He has a really good match with Arya Daivari. I don't know what leg they have to stand on anymore. Like they have got to do something. But Takagi winning with that Made in Japan driver, he's just fantastic. There's been kind of an upswing in realizing how valuable Takagi is to the New Japan roster over the past year or so, I would say. And it's really nice to see because there's just something special about him. Like, there's just there's certain guys in Japan who – like when I look at wrestlers, I look for the unrepeatable thing that is their own. And some people that's like, there's never going to be another promo like Eddie Kingston. There's never going to be another guy in the ring like Will Ospreay. I mean, Fletcher kind of, but you know what I mean? There's something really special when those guys come from Japan. Cause so often it's like this marriage of their presence and their in-ring because they're not relying on an American style presentation of things. And Takagi's is one of those guys. Like, he's just one of those guys where just the way he moves about everything he does combined with his in-ring ability is just this really, really special thing that is unique to Takagi. And I love when I see that in a wrestler. And I'm so thankful that we get it in the way that we do in Japan and that he's just one of those guys. He's one of those guys that has that. So this was fun. Daivari's a very, very versatile and forgiving guy to be in the ring with too. Like he's very selfless in there. So this was a whole bunch of fun. It's just, are any of these guys going to get a win? Like, are any of these guys?
No, but the fact that they always get a reaction for the athletes rule stuff. I'm just so surprised every time I watch this. I'm like, how are you still getting a reaction? Y'all know they know you're going to lose.
Yeah.
They always lose. But love seeing Shingo Takagi on, Ring of Honor. He's probably my favorite New Japan talent. Well, LIJ in general, because Hiromu Takahashi is up there for me. Taka. So Shingo Takagi, they're my two favorites out there. And I think the one thing that I would say Shingo Takagi does that no one else can do is his first step. I think he has the best first step in wrestling. Like, anytime he gets that real good first step, you know it's coming with a lariat, or he's going off the ropes better than anyone can go off the ropes, or he's about to hit you with this big strike. Like, his first step, whatever he does, whether it's throwing a strike, whether it's throwing a lariat, whether it's running off the ropes, it's unlike anyone else out there. He just has a crispness and smoothness, a fluidness to his work, whether it be he's trading strikes, whether he's countering and reversing holds. No one is like Shingo Takagi, and that's why he's one of my favorites. And if you want a match suggestion, him and Will Ospreay in the Best of Super Junior Finals from 2019, still one of my favorite matches of all time. And Shingo Takagi just had another banger with your boy, Zack Sabre Jr.
Ridiculous.
And we're going to get Shingo Takagi versus Konosuke Takeshita on January 4th. Sign me up.
I'm a happy, happy girl about that. Yeah, the match with ZSJ was great. Obviously, I always also go back to Shingo and Ishii don't always have the world's best chemistry, but when it's clicked in, it is clicked. And Royal Quest, was it 3?
Yeah, the one with Osprey and Sabre Jr., yeah.
Yeah, I was obviously watching that for ZSJ versus Osprey, and the versions of the two that they were in that year will forever be special. But boy, was I blown away by a couple of things. One, Eddie Kingston's reaction in the UK blew me away. I was not expecting that guy in that country to be that over, but my goodness, was he. I think he was in like a 6-man too, which was funny. But I was like, breathtakingly good match between Ishii and Shingo. And I think it was their like second or third one of the year. So
yeah, I feel like they've never had a bad match together. If you want a prototypical hoss fight or beat the hell out of each other, a heavyweight slugfest, is Shingo and Ishii. Shingo just has great chemistry with pretty much anyone and everyone.
It's true.
I've seen him in the ring with.
It's true. There's like a... I just love when sometimes wrestlers are like just locked in at a different level because you can't even describe it, but you can see it so vividly. Ah! It's delicious. It's delicious. But moving on to not technically the main event. We got 2 matches left here, but I feel like Athena is always my main event.
Always the main event.
When we think of main event players, I think of Athena, but we're here to put some other main event players on your radar. If you're not familiar, I'll help you get familiar with this ad from Sean Ross Sapp.
Hey guys, I want to tell you all about the Main Event Players, a group of content creators who have banded together to change the game. They've got their Outside the Brand podcast on YouTube where they give weekly previews and predictions for wrestling and sports. I've got my notifications turned on, so whenever they go live, I get that notification on my phone. It makes it so easy. Great dudes, lots of charisma, just a great feel when you watch their show. And something else that I really liked, they do eFed stuff as well, which was a big passion of mine. So I really want you guys to check that out. Also, the Wrestling Room podcast on Spotify, a great concept. A wrestling couple takes their everyday conversations and records them for the world to hear. Something a little bit different than what you're used to. And if you want something new, you want something fresh, you want something different, check out the Main Event Players. Check out the Outside the Brand podcast. Check out the Wrestling Room podcast. YouTube, Spotify, they are they're all over the place. I'm stumbling all over my words talking about how all over the place they are. Check them out. The Main Event Players.
Great, great crew with the Main Event Players. They do a lot of eFed stuff too, which I know is something that, well, that Sean specifically is very passionate about and loved, especially his earlier time in wrestling media. But it's such a fun niche, I feel like, especially when you have guys that are like passionate and excited talking about their eFids. That's just the best. So check out the Main Event Players there, sponsoring our show a couple times over the course of the next month. They're sponsoring a lot here on Fightful. We appreciate their support and we ask that you throw it back to them. But guys, please leave a thumbs up as we're coming down the home stretch of this episode of ROH. It's been kind of fun to talk about bigger things than just the episodes, and you guys have been sending in the chats for those, so we really appreciate it. But we move on to this Proving Ground match between Athena and Layla Gray, which went the way it should. I felt like Layla Gray got to show some of her improvements, but Athena looked dominant, and I love SP3. I love when anybody wins with a triangle joke. I love Athena winning with a triangle joke. Her toolbox of things that she can finish you with, like her list of weapons that she can end a match with, just continues to grow. And I think it's such a statement to how we've seen her grow as a wrestler on the show. Like I think this title reign, we've seen that specific thing, that arsenal, start to really, really, really open up as her title reign has gone on. This was really fun. Her looking vicious is great. I'm loving this. It's time for her to lose, but I don't want to give it up yet. I don't want to give it up yet, but it's time, but you know, I don't want to, you know?
You know, I wish she could be our forever champion, but she needs to let this go. so she can move on to bigger and better things. And I think that bigger and better things would mean Athena. I'll call it here. In 2025, Athena will be one of the first women to headline an AEW pay-per-view.
Oh,
bigger and better things in 2025.
Okay, not a triple main event either. Let's do like Mercedes Athena proper.
Actual last match of the show.
Agreed. Agreed with you there. Sorry, Darby Allin, you can't go like hang it upside down for 20 minutes like a pinata. You know?
No, you're good. It was okay.
Bless you. Well, thankfully, our equipment only has to work for one more match to talk about. Brian Cage and AR Fox. Brian Cage winning with the drill claw. Nice to see AR Fox getting some reps again. I've missed him. He's a fantastic wrestler. Brian Cage is one of the best as like a base for luchadors. This mix with AR Fox of him being able to do such creative acrobatic stuff, but not necessarily being lucha guy, I thought made for a nice mix of not just styles, but like creative avenues that we don't necessarily see Brian Cage take all the time. So this was perfectly fine. I forgot he's TV champion half the time because he's also in a tag team with Lance Archer on the main roster. But I'm sure they'll build out something fun that Brian Cage will do with a high flyer as ROH TV champion at Full Gear. I don't know if it'll be AR Fox or not, but perfectly fine main event here. Strong way to close the show. A solid episode kind of all around, and this was a nice way to top it off. Your thoughts on our main event?
Yeah, this was a solid enough show, and I thought this was probably the best match on the show. Like you said, Brian Cage just works against these high flyers. AR Fox has such an exciting style in the ring, and I feel like despite, you know, you feeling like you always forget that Brian Cage is a TV champion, I think he's a good one to have because he can have these good matches with just about anyone, and he's proven that already in his title reign with a good match against Commander and then a good match here against AR Fox, and this was the rare Ring of Honor episode that had multiple matches that could have closed the show. The Athena match could have closed the show. Ishii and Bennett could have closed the show. So I did like this. It did feel a little bit more important than our usual Ring of Honor episodes.
Agreed. It would have made more sense if Gabe Kidd also defended now that we're talking about titles out loud. But good stuff. Good stuff all around. The Road to Final Battle continues. The road to getting a TV deal is closer and closer. So some good things happening there. But we are going to bring on the TNA crew here to talk about their half of the show. A Masha Slamovich title defense happening tonight, which I assume was all good things because she's incredible. We do have a final super chat that just snuck in under the wire here saying, who do you think Cage will face at Final Battle?
Knowing AEW, probably be someone from AEW or CMLL. He's going to face Mascarera Dorada.
That 2.0. is alarmingly possible. I'm going to say hologram. I'm going to say hologram's back from injury and that's what he goes into, but let's properly turn it over to the TNA crew here. We have the beautiful Miss No Shave Movember over there with Cresta and also Joel's here. So.
Hey, Joel.
Nice shirt, SP3.
Nice shirt, Joel.
Thank you.
My little brother said it like Undertaker.
Brian Danielson.
Can you look at the camera and say, All Elite Scooby-Doo?
I would pay thousands of dollars for a Cresta cameo before I would pay for one for the Undertaker. I'll tell you right now. I'm going to get more out of it.
I'll take 30 minutes to actually do the entrance.
proper
5 stars right there.
How was TNA tonight?
Honestly, I had a good time, but I was a little upset at Alicia because we didn't open up the show with "Do you wanna know something?" It's ingrained in my brain.
I do. Yeah, I love it. I will. I think that it's annoyingly awesome how it's much great. She says that. Do you wanna know something?
Do you want it? It's. I told Joel this on our show. I think last week. It's up there for me with Vicky Guerrero. Excuse me.
Like, I was just gonna very say.
Much. Yeah, it's very much on brand. Very.
I was great. Just gonna say. Well, good it's stuff.
Fun.
Well,
it was fun.
It was an all right episode.
Listen, they're going to a show where they're going to be a WrestleCade. how much can you really put behind it? You know what? Actually, I will put this for the ROH people who are just getting the crossover now. Steve Macklin, they did a 6-minute video, and it's really, 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 really good. I was told by a bunch of TNA people today that you're going to want to go out of your way to watch it. This was one, and it's very, very good. They should be very proud of that. So go out of your way to watch it. It's very much like in the mindset and the life of someone who has been in combat, who has been part of, who has served for their country. So go ahead, take a look at that. Cause yeah, there's a lot of passion there. It's good stuff.
Was there an 11-minute song by Guns N' Roses playing behind it?
No. And you know what? I'd like to think that if there was, TNA would also know not to let the commentary talk over the lyrics.
Goes the rain.
No GNR, no more. Bye, Kate. Guys. That's what I say. No, I'm just kidding. We will.
It's okay. Friday's episode of Rampage is going to feature them showing the whole ass 9-minute video again. TK's already told us. Nothing holds a candle in a cold November rain. Barry Allen, he's going through a table. Sorry, people are sleeping in my house.
Love is always gone, and love is on the mind, and no one's really shining. Let it go.
I only know two Guns N' Roses songs, and that's Welcome to the Jungle and Pan of Paradise City. That's it.
Yeah, that's fair. I was trying to think. It's like you can basically run through the entire Appetite for Destruction album, and that's all you need.
That's yeah, like I'm trying to think if is there another song I know? Nope. Take me down to the Paradise City.
You know, Sweet Caroline. You know,
oh, Sweet yeah, Cal. Yeah. Oh, oh, oh. But were those all Guitar Hero songs?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, just license everything out there.
Caught on camera. Crest is a fraud. Ladies and gentlemen, we got her.
You're not saying you're a fan of GNR. You're not like, I'm the biggest fan of Axl Rose ever. No, you're just like, I don't know shit. I get
to
it.
To be fair, I also host the show and I've never seen wrestling a day in my life.
Fair. That's how I feel most of the time.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.